Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, writing to believers. 2 Peter chapter 1, this is God's word. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Okay, first of all, who is writing this? Simon Peter. You remember Simon Peter? He was one of the apostles. He was, out of the apostles, one of the three who were closest to Jesus. Jesus had crowds that followed him. And he had 12 that were chosen out of those who followed to be his apostles. One of them would be Judas, the betrayer. But out of the 12, Jesus had three that he was especially close to. And sometimes when he was doing something or going somewhere, he would just take those three with him. And out of those three, Peter was not the one who was the closest. John was. And God willing, we'll soon begin a study of the Gospel of John. But right now, having already taught through 1 Peter, I want us to look at 2 Peter together. Peter is one of Jesus' closest friends on earth. And yet Peter describes us who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. He says the faith that we have received is just as precious as the faith that he has. Why is it that we tend to compete and try and rank ourselves in every arena, not just in sports, but even in our walk with God? We want to have some sense of where we are in the totem pole. Peter is writing here to a bunch of believers, including now, by God's grace, us. And he describes us as having received a faith that's as precious as his. If you are a child of God, he loved you enough to send his son to die for you. The enemy will try and tell you God doesn't really care about you. He doesn't really love you. You know, I mean, don't kid yourself. You believe that the God who made the universe cares about you? Don't be ridiculous. But Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And you need to know that if you're trusting in Jesus, you are precious in his sight as a beloved child. So Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through good works have earned a position with... I'm sorry, let me put my glasses back on. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. You and I are not saved by what we do. We are saved by what he has done. That is the good news that we all need to believe. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's where the grace and peace come from. It's your relational knowledge of him. God is the one who saves us and then empowers us to grow and to change. Verse 3, his divine power has given us, whose divine power? God's. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So the reason we are in Christ is because of what he has done. He's the one who called us. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who not only forgave us, but gave us new life. And with that new life comes the power to live in a way that honors him. He has given us, has, past tense, given us everything we need for life and godliness. Where is it to be found? Through our knowledge of him. That's a relational knowledge, not just an intellectual knowledge. It's knowing him on a personal level. It certainly involves our minds. We're to love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our mind, as well as our heart and our strength. If you think that being a Christian just means you turn off your mind, you don't understand what it is to be a Christian. But through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these, his glory and goodness, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, let that marinate. Think about that for a few moments. Through God's promises, we don't just learn about him, we enter into him. The phrase that Paul uses over and over and over that marks his letters and helps people know, okay, yeah, that fits, that's one of Paul's epistles. He keeps saying, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And when you go back to John's gospel, we find Jesus speaking of us being in him and him being in us. And so we read in the epistles that the one who is joined with Christ, Paul writes to the Corinthians, is one with him in spirit. It's amazing. How do you see your relationship with God? Is he out there somewhere? Or do you know him deeply so that you can trust him as one who loves you more than anybody else in the world. Nobody loves you as much as Jesus. He loved you enough to lay down his life for you. And he said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves you.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
So that we might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. If you are a human, you have wanted to do stuff you shouldn't. Not only that, you've wanted to do stuff that you knew you shouldn't. Those are called evil desires. And the way that the world is being rotted is by people following those desires. And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us all of us used to live that way. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, what this says is that God has made a way of escape for us. He's made it so that we don't have to just watch that thing spread and spread and spread and consume us. We can be free from the corruption that is caused by evil desires. So, what do? Just sit back and coast. Just sit back and coast. That's all you got to do. Is that what it says? No. Look. For this very reason, make every effort. Effort? I thought we're saved by grace. We are. And it's because of God's grace and his power that we can make an effort to change. He not only is the one who saves us, but he's the one who empowers us to grow and to change. Amen? So, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. That is not a Chinese menu where you take one from column A and 2 from column B. A lot of people approach spiritual growth that way. They say, well, you know, I'm not very good at these things, but I'm working on this one over there. I think that's pretty good. Well, good. I'm glad if that one's good. But don't stop there. To add to your faith, that is your trust in God, good, glad you trust him. Now, if you trust him, start making every effort to do what he says. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Oh, boy. I'm not very good at that. I'm pretty high on the impulsivity chart. Well, you know what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit includes self-control. Well, I just don't think I can do that. Well, you can't in your own strength. But God has given us great and precious promises through which we become partakers of the divine nature. And that means we can change. We can change. It's by grace. It's through His power. But He calls us to change. And that includes developing self-control. Not only that, but perseverance. Well, what's perseverance? I don't know exactly what that is. It sounds hard. It is. It means you keep going. You keep on going. You keep on going. How many of you have been on a hike? How many of you got tired on a hike? How many of you just stayed there? If you did, you wouldn't be here to raise your hand, would you? Okay. What happens when you're tired? You keep pressing on. Well, is it okay to stop for a moment and take a breath? Yeah. And then keep going. Now, what is perseverance? It's keeping on going. It's keeping on going. And let me tell you something. If you really follow Jesus in discipleship and you are growing, you may think it's going to get less and less challenging. I can tell that means you haven't done it very much. Because if you're serious about following the Lord, as you seek, as you make every effort to do what He says, to grow in this way, you're going to have to persevere. There will be times when you are tired, when you are weary, when you are frustrated, and you got to keep going. And then you add to perseverance godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. It's interesting to me that love kind of comes at the end, and we know from other scriptures that it's the most important thing, and it encompasses a bunch of these. But right before you get to love, it talks about brotherly kindness. I think we ought to redo this. I know it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but I think we ought to say love, which will make it easier to do brotherly kindness. But God put it this way for a reason. I believe that reason is because even when you don't feel love for somebody, you're supposed to be kind to them. Brotherly kindness is not a negotiable. It is an essential. And as you are kind to people, you learn to love them. You learn to love them. But all of these things are commanded. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Oh, my word. It's not enough to have these qualities. No, you need to have them more and more and more and more. You need to be growing. Well, when can I quit? When it comes to these qualities, this is a lifelong pursuit. We are to possess these qualities in increasing measure. The result will be they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Him and what you know about Him will actually accomplish something in the world. If you are growing in this way, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Can you think of something that's ineffective and unproductive? I once had a 1981 Oldsmobile Delta 88 diesel. It was fabulous until about 30,000 miles, at which point it cracked. The engine cracked. What a disaster. Tow it to the dealership. They work on it, and they can't fix it. Why not? Well, because actually, Mr. Wood, this GM engine is not a true GM diesel. What they did was they took gas engines, a 350 block, which is a great gas engine, and they converted it to diesel, and that engine just can't handle the pressure of a diesel long term. Well, so what are you going to do? Well, we're talking to GM about that because you're not the only one having this problem. I want you to know that car looked so much like a Cadillac that there were people before it broke down who asked me, is that your Cadillac? And I said, no, actually, that's an Oldsmobile. That's because where I come from, preachers aren't supposed to drive Cadillacs. But this car looked like a Cadillac. And the interior on that car, it wasn't just a Delta. It was a Delta 88 Royale. Okay? That was the luxury version. Okay? The seats. Now, it was a bench seat in the front, not bucket seats. But it was a sofa with electric controls. Okay? It was so nice, so comfy, you could fall asleep at the wheel. Oh, wait, that's not good, is it? The interior on that car was so plush, so beautiful, and that car was completely ineffective and unproductive. It sat and sat and sat. What's the purpose of a car? To look good. No, it's to get you from point A to point B. Looking good. Well, that's nice, but that's not the essential. I could have more easily gotten around on a bicycle than trying to haul that big car around when it didn't run. Imagine if I'd gotten the family in there and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going on vacation as planned, but we're going to have to take turns pushing this thing. No, but I know some Christians who think that the fact that they have asked Jesus to forgive their sins and they're going to heaven and they made a little bit of growth in their life and then they kind of put it on cruise should be, everybody else can just kind of push me along. Don't do that. You want to be effective and productive. That's what we're called to, and you can be that. If anyone doesn't have them, he's nearsighted and blind. It's not fun being nearsighted, but it's better than being blind. And the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to push on past nearsighted and say, you don't see a thing, do you? You're blind. And you've forgotten that you've been cleansed from your past sins. If you have asked him to save you, and he has, what does that mean? Well, it means I'm forgiven. It doesn't just mean you're forgiven. It means he has cleansed you from your past sins. God's provision for us is that we've been cleansed from our past sins. So what we ought to do now is want to stay away from those past sins. Not say, well, now I can do those things and still go to heaven. If that's your attitude, I don't think you love Jesus. Because if that's the stuff that cost Jesus his life, we should not be wanting to engage in it. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are looking toward the future, and you know that those who seek to do what God says are going to be welcomed into heaven for eternity, why would you want to behave like somebody who was not saved, who had not been forgiven and cleansed, and just continue to dabble in the filth? The same grace of God that saved us now calls us and empowers us to grow and to change. And so we need to work on that. Make every effort and persevere even when we're weary, drawing on his power, not our own.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.